May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing hymn 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light, the sun shall sink in endless night, both heaven and earth shall pass away, the works of nature all decay, but they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. Hymn 352.
Thank you. Lord, help us to read together from his holy word, the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them out unto Joshua, and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. May God bless that reading of his holy word, and may he now teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we come to the evening hour of thy day, the time of our evening service. And we pray, Lord, that thy gracious presence may be with us as we gather around thy word to worship thee. We pray, gracious Lord, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth this evening. We pray we may come with an honest heart. We pray, Lord, that we may be conscious of thy all-seeing eye. Lord, that we might seek to approach rightly before thee this evening. Lord, we pray that we may come pleading that name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no other hope. We have no other ground of acceptance. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us might prove that precious name and the merits of the dear Saviour, and find access to the into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we come and we plead for thy gracious help. We pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, how needful we are of thy gracious help. We pray for each in the pew, that thou wilt open each ear and heart. Lord, it might be those who have come up this evening with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant them an answer to that prayer, that thou wilt stand in our midst, the doors being shut, and reveal thyself to us each. Lord, we pray we might hear thy voice and see thy face by faith. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and bless us each. We thank thee for this house of prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done for the friends here, the tokens over this past year of thy mercy toward them. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless each member of the church here. Lord, they may be praying members. Lord, that thou wilt grant them the liberty at the throne of grace to bear one another's burdens. They may gather united at thy feet, seeking thy gracious help and thy blessing. Lord, we pray that they may have the exercise in their hearts of the souls of the congregation and in this neighbourhood. Lord, that they may see the answers to the prayers offered up, that in thy time and by thy way thou wilt gather in to the church here from the congregation. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt glorify thy great and holy name. And so we come, Lord, and we pray, we plead for thy mercy. Oh, we do thank thee that there is mercy to be found. We thank thee that we live in a day of grace, the door of mercy still open. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw us to thy mercy seat. Oh, that we may come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, thou knowest the times of need with each one. Thou knowest the cases and the concerns. Lord, thou knowest all about them. And Lord, we pray that thy word this night might be suited to meet each case. Lord, that thou wilt touch each mountain, that they may flow down at thy presence. Lord, that thou wilt use thy word to encourage, to strengthen, to enliven, to comfort, and to rebuke. Lord, we're needful of the pulling down at times. Lord, we're needful of the stripping away of anything short of Christ. Lord, we're needful of any false religion or false hopes to be swept away. We're needful, Lord, of thy gracious hand to place us on that rock. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou fix us there, and that there we may firm remain. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou help any with particular burdens and cares. Lord, any with overwhelmed with temptation. Lord, do make that way of escape for them. Oh, may they be found fleeing for refuge to the hope set before them. May they see that glorious welcome for poor coming sinners, venturing as they are upon a precious Saviour. Oh, we do thank thee for thy gospel. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that we have thy word so freely available in our own language, that we can read together publicly. We thank thee, Lord, for the liberty of meeting together, free from persecution. In such a dark and evil day, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast spared to us these liberties. But thou knowest, Lord, that where thy people meet, the wicked one would seek to come in. And Lord, at times we have to confess, we bring him in our own hearts. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would cleanse the temple of our hearts, drive out the buyers and the sellers, drive Satan out from our midst, shut us in with thyself. Lord, do bless us indeed. Oh, we pray that thou would lift us above inferior things. Lord, there are those that are pressed with weighty matters. Oh, may they be brought to cast that burden upon thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt set them free. Oh, give them that good hope through grace. Oh, a sweet persuasion that thou hast heard and that thou wilt perform that which is needful. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us each for good. Lord, how needful we are of thy keeping mercies. Lord, to be kept by the power of God day by day. We live in a dying, changing world. And Lord, we're poor, dying sinners. We're in a body of sin. And Lord, if it's by thy mercy that we have a good hope through grace, yet, Lord, we've not attained. And oh, we pray that each one of us may be gathered into glory at last. We might press toward that mark. We might give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Lord, that we may be made wise unto salvation, not satisfied with just the outward form, but may we know the oil of grace in our lamps. Lord, that when that sound of the bridegroom comes, we may be ready to go out to meet him. Oh, that our lamps may not go out. We might not come short at that great day, but that we might shine brightly. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt prepare us each. Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Lord, we live in a dangerous, dying world. Dangers seen and unseen. Lord, we're a missed breath from eternity. Oh, Lord, do prepare us each for that great day. Oh, that we might be made right and ready by thy gracious Spirit. Oh, we pray, Lord, convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us. We come to this time of year when we particularly think on the birth of the Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw us to thyself, that we may go even unto Bethlehem. We may, by faith, look in that manger and see in him, in that dear babe, our hope of heaven. Oh, we marvel as we consider these things, that great stoop, how thou didst humble thyself and make thyself of no reputation. And oh, we pray, Lord, that it might have been done for each one of us. Oh, that thou didst come and leave the glories of heaven to come to this sinful world to save us from our sins. So, Lord, we pray we may go by faith to Bethlehem, and trace out all the wonders of the coming Saviour. And oh, may our hearts be lifted, our hearts be glad. Oh, may it be a true season to rejoice in. We do ask, Lord, that thou would be with the children. We thank thee for the children. Thou hast favoured the friends here with children. We do thank thee, Lord, and pray that thou would bless them each. Call them by grace while they are young in life. Keep them, Lord, from all the evil of the world. We ask that thou would direct their feet into that way of perfect peace. Incline their hearts. Lord, hedge about their ways, that they may be brought to make those right choices, to commit their way unto the Lord, to trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Lord, we pray that thou wilt guide them in all things. And Lord, as they have choices and decisions to make, may they do what is right in thy sight. Others, Lord, older friends, seeking direction in work, in suitable partners in life, in the many choices that are before them, do overrule all things, we pray, that thy honour and glory and the good of their souls might be the end that is designed. Lord, we pray, deal with us as with children. Guide us by thy Spirit and teach us lessons how to live, and grant us enabling grace and a will to do, and grant that gift of living faith, and Lord, so exercise it that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray we might know more of thee at the end of this year than we did as we set off at the beginning. Lord, that thou draw us nearer to thyself, wean us away from the world. Lord, do separate us in our affections and our desires from the world around us. We have to live in the world, but may we not be of it. May we know thy divine power in keeping us from all the evil influences. Lord, do hedge about us as churches. Lord, do build that wall of fire round about us and be the glory in the midst. We ask all these things with the pardon of every sin. We ask all in that worthy and precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1047. By whom shall Jacob now arise? For Jacob's friends are few. And what should fill us with surprise? They seem divided too. Hymn 1047.
Thank you.
turn with me to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1. And with the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak to you from verse 18. Book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, and the 18th verse. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, and the 18th verse. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When we look around at the creation of the world, the things that God has created, we have in them a revelation of God himself. God has been pleased to reveal himself in his handiwork, in creation. And God has also been pleased to reveal himself in the written word, in his written word, in the inspired word of God that we have a copy of in our own language. And so as we read through God's word, and as we live in God's created world, we have a revelation. We have God revealed. Now, in creation, we find men endeavour to spend their time in looking at creation and seeking to deny, doing everything they can to find actually the opposite is true, that there is no God, that there is no creator. Satan attacks the revealed wisdom of God in creation. And we find that the same attacks are upon the word of God. The world can understand to a degree creation, but the world struggles to understand the word of God. How we need divine power, that as we read the word of God, the truth that is in it is opened up to us. There are many false teachers and preachers are around. There's a lot of religion around which is false. A lot of it is loosely based around the word of God, but it's been corrupted by man, and it's building up false hopes and false security and an easy believism and a lightness in religious things. We must be on our guard. But in Scripture, throughout Scripture, from passage to passage, dotted here and there, are some of the most beautiful and precious promises in God's Word. Beloved friends, the text this evening is one of those such places. You could remove it from this part of Scripture, and the chapter would lose nothing, in a way. It's not dependent on the verses above or on the verses below. But it's there. And it's there by the mercy of God, it's there. And Isaiah, inspired by God himself, has recorded it in this chapter. as he begins to set forth the really the wrongdoings of Israel. We didn't read this chapter, but I would encourage you to read it when you have time. But it begins, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And so the theme goes through. The Lord's people have rebelled against him. They've turned to their idols. They're following after sin. They are going through the motions of sacrificing. They've lost sight of the God of whom they're worshipping. They're justifying their sin by endeavouring to worship and sacrifice. They're not concerned over their sin. It's not made... they're not made sorry for it, but rather they continue to seek to strive and work it off. But they don't have any desire to give up the sin. And there's judgment, and there's condemnation, and there's solemn warnings. And God himself likens them to the children of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says this, verse 9, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Their sins were of such a deep, dark stain that the judgment that was pronounced and spent itself on Sodom and Gomorrah should rightly have spent itself on these backsliding, sinful children of Israel. And God was displeased. And through the prophet Isaiah, we find that the Lord speaking judgments and condemnations. But beloved friends, there's along with those condemnations the continual sight of a merciful and gracious God. Come now and let us reason together. This, beloved friends, it is a most precious view of a merciful and gracious God. If you want to see what long-suffering means, when the Lord revealed himself to Moses, he made his glory pass by him, pronounced his name, the Lord, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth, and here, and throughout the Word of God, we find mercy, a merciful God, a God that if he dealt with us after our sins, we would be nothing, we would have nothing, we'd be brought to nothing. But revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture, right from the Garden of Eden, right to the end of the book of Revelations, we find a beautiful thread of mercy and hope. Mercy and hope. Come now and let us reason together. You can't reason with Almighty God at the judgment day. You and I, there's no place for reasoning there. There's no place for taking and making requests there. The judgment day, what a solemn thing. You know, I'm not sure whether many of you have ever been brought to stand before a judge, but I have. And I can tell you, it was a most uncomfortable and distressing thing. When I had committed a multiple number of speeding offences, this is before the Lord called me by grace, I had a summons to go to court, and I had it in my house on the side. And what did I do about it? Nothing. I had a date set. I had received the summons. I was to go to stand before a judge. And what did I do about it? I put it to one side. Pride, ignorance. The word of God would call me a fool. Foolish. You see, you can dismiss things. We don't understand the seriousness of it. We don't understand the implication of it. I, in my ignorance and pride, thought I could deal with it on the day. I didn't feel the weight of it then, and so I left it until the day came. And then, what a shock. What a shock to find out that I was facing a certain driving ban. What a shock when I had gone to court without a solicitor, without an advocate, without bothering to make any plans. What a shock when the duty solicitor came up to me and offered to represent me and said, give me your keys, please, and your driving licence, because you're not driving home from this court. What a shock. A wife, a young child, and my wife pregnant with our second and needing my car for work. But, you know, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to the condemnation you and I are under, having sinned against the most holy and gracious God. What a mountain of sin we've piled up. You know, the summons has gone forth. There's a date set for every one of us in this chapel. And we've been warned of it in God's word. And we're warned of it as we look around the world around us. Dying, changing world. We only have to go up the road to the graveyard. You see an evidence of it. And you and I, it's the only certain thing in this uncertain world. And it's that we must stand before him. And are we ready? And are we right? Or are you like I was? You're dismissing it. Oh, there's plenty of time. I worry about it nearer. There's other things that are more pressing. I don't see the urgency. Oh, I'll be all right. I'll just say a few things. You know, he pleaded my good behaviour and I got a lenient sentence. What good behaviour will you plead as you stand before a holy, heart-searching, all-seeing God? And when every single thing you've thought and done is recalled as a great long history, to give an account of the things we've done in the flesh, both bad and good. And beloved friends, what will you say and what will I say? You know, it's a most solemn thing to be made ready. That day doesn't take us unawares. I don't know when that day is. I don't know whether it is long in the distance, in the future, or soon. We know the old must die, but the young may die. And we don't know when that time is set for us. But, beloved friends, we know it is coming. We know it is coming. Well, with our reading, we read of Achan. And those things that he did in secret, committed those sins. He did it in secret. And he hid the things and he kept them secret. But beloved friends, you can't keep things secret from God. You know, you can keep them secret from your loved ones, maybe. You can keep it secret from your mum and dad. You can keep it secret from your husband or your wife, maybe. But you can't keep it secret from God. Thou, God, seest me. God is not mocked. And God was grieved. And this had an effect. It had an effect upon the whole of the children of Israel. And what should have been an easy victory over the city of Ai proved to be anything but. Israel turned and fled before their enemies. Joshua, not knowing the reason, troubled, he falls down before God. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Oh, and it must be unearthed. This is a marking point. There must be that removed, that taken out. And so there's this searching out. And still we find Achan. You know, like you and me by nature, hiding things. You know, we're given solemn warnings. We read the word of God. We hear the preaching of the word. But still we keep things hidden. Hidden in the tent of our heart. Oh, the word speaks of confessing our sins. But are we praying the Lord will give us grace to do? Are we praying the Lord will grant us the sense of our need of a Saviour, bring us to his feet, repentant? But you see, Achan kept quiet. And the tribe of Judah's chosen, and he keeps quiet. And so we find out, as it gets nearer and nearer, and he keeps quiet, until that point comes. Oh, when it's him. Be sure your sins will find you out. You know, friends, it would be a wonderful thing if your sins find you out while you're on praying ground. Wonderful thing if your sins are brought before you, brought out of the tent of your heart, unearthed from that hiding place where they're seated at present, brought forth before you that you might see them for what they are, and to be brought to be truly sorry for them. I have sinned. They're my sins. To own them as yours. To know the exceeding sinfulness of your sin. To know the seriousness of it. To know the condemnation of it. To know what they are in the sight of a holy God. And to know and be brought aware of what your sins deserve. Well, Achan is brought forth. Joshua says, Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Tell us what it is. Give the glory to the Lord God of Israel. Well, my beloved friends, you know it's painful when your sins are unearthed. Oh, nobody likes to be found out, do they? Everyone likes to be thought well of. But how vital. How vital for you and I that the Lord brings us to this point in our lives. Come now, let us reason together. I said there's no reasoning at the judgment day. Oh, your words will avail nothing then. Oh, as your sins and mine testify against us. What can you say? Apart from I've done them. You can't deny it. He's noted every single one. There's a whole list of them. You can't just delete history like you can on your computer. You can't just blot it out. They're there and they're recorded. And they're being logged day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, thoughts and deeds. How needful. You know, my mind went, this is after the Lord called me by grace, and looking back on that that most solemn day when I stood before that court, the Lord really opened up that scripture in John, 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Oh, someone to speak. Someone to speak for us. Someone not to plead your good behaviour, but to plead his. Oh, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, you know, beloved friends, what a mercy we have these wonderful glimmers of hope for poor, needy, dying sinners. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Do you? And do I? Oh, to have that hope. If you've an high priest with the Father, you've an advocate with the Father. If you've a great and glorious good shepherd who's going on before you in your life, you've an advocate with the Father. It's one of his offices he will and must fulfill on your behalf. Oh, he's to stand. He's to speak. To claim you as his. Yes, this is a brand that I've plucked from the burning. Yes, hell should have been his or her place for eternity, but I have plucked them as a brand from the burning. She's one of mine. He's one of mine. Take away the filthy garments. Oh, that life that you've so miserably lived, and all the shame of having been a sinner. Take away the filthy garments. Bring forth the royal robe. And there to clothe that poor trembler, that they might, oh, viewed in Christ Jesus, a death I did not die. Oh, that's the resting place. What a sweet resting place for poor, needy sinners. Achan found no such place. Why? Oh, he lived in a day of the law. And what was open to Joshua in hearing that confession? You see, we have a promise, beloved friends, this evening. Have you thanked God for it? You've a promise like this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Achan confessed his sin at the feet of Joshua. He told him all that he'd done. Where could Joshua go with it? To the law. And what does the law say? The soul that sinneth against God must die. What was passed? Death. Sentence of death. Joshua had nowhere to go. There was no ground of mercy. There's nothing in the law. There's nothing in the moral law, beloved friends, for you and I to rest on. It demands, demands, demands. It demands perfection. And there was no room, nowhere, no place to go. There was no way that Joshua could pardon him. Though he poured out his heart, though he emptied his tent on the floor, though he confessed it all, Joshua had nowhere to go except to the law. And he perished, Achan perished at the feet of Joshua. Valley of Achor, valley of trouble. Oh, there's a valley of trouble for every child of God in the same way. There's a valley of Achor. If you and I are to be born again of the Spirit of God, there's a valley of Achor for us, a valley of trouble to be brought in, and it's soul trouble, my sins. And, you know, like that valley of Achor, it was at the beginning, it was before they went into the fullness of the promised land. And they had to pass through the valley of Achor. And beloved friends, if you and I are to get to heaven at last, this side of the grave, this side of the judgment day, oh, we too must pass through this valley of Achor and be brought to turn out our hearts. Oh, but what a mercy. You know, this is the gospel in Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. Oh, let us reason together. Has the Lord begun to reason with you? What do I mean? Has he begun to show you what you are? Has he begun to teach you what you are by nature? What you really are in his sight? Is your sin a trouble to you this evening? Yeah, I can say by the grace of God, the Lord began to reason with me. And it was in a path of providential trouble at first. But that quickly, well, the weight of that remained, but the Lord graciously caused the concern of it to deepen into spiritual things. Where's my standing? Have I a God in heaven who cares and loves for me? Have I a friend before the throne of love? Have I an advocate with the Father? Have I any hope that my sins were laid on the Lord Jesus? Have I a hope of heaven? Oh, the reasoning, the gracious working of the Spirit of the Lord in sending forth that quickening spirit. Now, I'm not going to tell you how it might begin, because the Lord knows he works in different ways. But at some point in your experience, whether he begins with love or whether he begins with the condemnation of your sin, there will be this point of coming to the feet of Jesus. You know, this is the place which the Spirit of God speaks of in this verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He knows your sins are as scarlet. You know, this is a gracious encouragement to this remnant who have been left amongst the children of Israel. You know, this is a gracious encouragement to those who feel at times they are the deepest sinners, the deepest stained and dyed sinners. This is a gracious encouragement that though their sins are testifying against them, they too may come. It's a glorious, loving welcome that the poor, hell-deserving sinners need as they're brought to the feet of Jesus. Wasn't so at the feet of Joshua. What a mercy, friends. You don't come to the feet of Joshua in your valley of Achor and in mine. Oh, whose feet are you coming to? A type. Joshua, type. A type of, a shadowy type of Christ. Oh, but we come to Jesus Christ. the feet of Jesus Christ. Oh, and when you and I, by the grace of God, and may it be so, turn out of the tent of our hearts and pour out our hearts, he will fulfill that promise if we confess our sins. He will be faithful and just. And he will forgive sin. There's a promise. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This isn't that your sin itself will change into something good. This is the sinner. Your sins are what they are. They're abhorrent in the sight of God. You and I, by the grace of God, are brought to confess our sin, the sin doesn't change. Oh, but the condemnation and the guilt is graciously removed. Oh, there's a change. There's a change that takes place. You see, your life and mine, some of us feel to be 500 pence sinners, like the description we have here, scarlet. Take a white robe and you dye it. You put it in the most red thing you can imagine. Dye it the most deep red colour. And the blessed effect of a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour, and the cleansing of that precious fountain, the washing from every sin is such that it takes that stained, that deeply stained garment, and it brings it to a whiteness. You know, that is something. It's not turning a white thing crimson. It's turning a crimson garment white. Oh, the power, the effect of the precious blood of Christ. Oh, that the Lord has this beautiful encouragement this evening. Oh, for those who find themselves hindered by the depth of the fall into sin they have been brought to, hindered by the deeply stained garment that is their profession, their life, which is so deeply stained and so full of sin that they feel unable to come. They may hear of the glorious welcome and saving power of the Lord Jesus, but they feel that's for others. I'm too far off. Oh, this beautiful welcome. And what was it with these Israelites? Was it literally blood on their hands? Well, it was a deep red. Though your sins be as scarlet. Not every sin is the same. Some sins have a deeper stain than others. You know, I thought this. I wonder if I've mentioned it to you before, but I'll mention it to you again. I remember queuing up once for a car wash. And, you know, there was a car in front of mine. My car was absolutely filthy. It hadn't been washed for a good time. Absolutely filthy. There was a car in front of me, I think it was a chauffeur's car, barely any dirt on it. But he went through the car wash first, and I went through the car wash next. And as I waited for them to bring the car round the front, they both were brought round the front, and they both were the same. They were both clean. They went in different, but they both came out the same. Oh, you know, friends, we come times and find ourselves so stained and dyed with sin. I can't come as I am. I've got to go and wash myself first. I can't come in all this filth. He can't receive me, surely. I can understand his mercy extending to those that I've heard of in who have been brought into the fellowship and communion of the Lord, but not me. Oh, that's for them, but not someone so far off. When the Lord Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach the word of the gospel of the grace of God, where did he say to begin? Begin at Jerusalem. Jerusalem sinners, the blood of the Lord Jesus on some of their hands. Begin there. Preach to them first, those that have just openly, so outwardly rejected me. Preach the gospel there first. Oh, the mercy of God, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It speaks of a complete cleansing. David in his Psalm 51 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, this place of reasoning. Well, where is it? Where is it? It's in the valley of Achor. In the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 2, we have this beautiful word, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of trouble is a door of hope for her. The valley of Achor is a place of prayer. A valley of Achor is a place to prove the mercy of God. Come now, let us reason together. You can't reason at the judgment day, but is there not a place where the Lord welcomes his poor children to come and reason, to take the precious promises in his word and plead them? Has he not given us a name, the name of his beloved Son, to plead? Yes, you're reasoning with him. Oh, I'm a sinner, Lord, but thy word says, thy word declares. Oh, that I am a sinner, Lord, but thy beloved Son, oh, his precious blood is more than able to cleanse even me. Lord, I am poor and needy, but thou didst come. I did send thy beloved Son into this world, not to seek and save the righteous, but that which is lost. Oh, these reasonings that God has given such encouragement, such promises. May the Lord seal these into our hearts. May we be given that grace within us that we're brought to plead nothing of self, confess our sins, and not seek to hide anything, not seek to just confess those that we want to give up, but to seek for a heart change in us. We might know true regeneration. You know, you can outwardly change your life, but you can't inwardly change it. I can stop myself going to places, but what's the point if my heart wants to go there anyway? Oh, you see, it's regeneration that is needed. Oh, we need the Lord to change our heart and to bring us to his feet. Oh, we need that work of the Spirit deep within the seat of our heart, that we might choose those better things, desire those better things, ever seek those better things, that we might have repentance and a spirit of confession, but truly hate those sins and not long after them. We might know the dampening of that rage of sin within us, a quenching of that raging fire of lust and temptation, and the Lord to be of sin, said the hymn writer, the double cure, to cleanse us from its guilt and power, that the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. The valley of Achor, for a door of hope. There's hope in the valley of Achor for you and I in a gospel day. Oh, there's a place, there's a ground of acceptance in and through the Saviour of sinners. There's the mercy seat sprinkled with blood. There's the throne of grace, beloved friends. There's a new and living way. There's access into the holiest of holies. Oh, he can be touched with our poor petitions. He says, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, that place, that door of hope. Well, the valley of Achor, in this side of the grave, oh, it gives hope. Although it's dark, though it's a valley of trouble, it's where the soul is brought and quickened and made alive, made willing. The love of Christ is shed abroad, and hope and life and light and liberty is given. And it's the valley of Achor. And at the end of that valley, what is it? It's the promised land. Passing through the valley of Achor, finding a precious Saviour of sinners, finding grace sufficient, finding everything that we need in him, where we come short, where we fail. Oh, the dear Saviour of sinners makes up in giving. The fullness that's in Christ Jesus, there's the place of reasoning. Oh, there's the place for poor sinners to plead the merits of the Saviour, to plead the promises given from God himself, who says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord, not on the ground that you've done anything that's good, I mean, not pleading any righteousness of your own, which is as filthy rags, but on the grounds of being sick of self, of being the worst of sinners, feeling to be the chiefest of sinners, feeling that where sin abounds, you pray that grace may much more abound, pleading on the only ground that you can plead on, the ground of mercy, to be found accepted in the Beloved, and to plead and to ask at his feet. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Here's my claim, and here alone. None a saviour more can need. Deeds of righteousness I've none. No, not one good work to plead. Not a glimpse of hope for me. Only in Gethsemane. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £800, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 327. Whence do our mournful thoughts arise, and where's our courage fled? Has restless sin and raging hell struck all our comforts dead? Hymn 327.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.